Psalm 88, reading from verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast led me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. Wilt Thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise Thee? Selah. Shall Thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or Thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall Thy wonders be known in the dark, and Thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent Thee. Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer Thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast Thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of this psalm of Haman the Ezrahite for His own name's sake. Haman the Ezrahite was celebrated as a man of great wisdom. But I don't think that even Haman understood the full import of the striking words which he used in the fifth verse of this psalm, when he uses this phrase, free among the dead. This psalm of Haman's is probably the gloomiest passage in all the Word of God. Unique among the psalms, this one commences with the words, O Lord God of my salvation. But then it continues and it concludes in unrelieved gloom. And I think that when you compare this with the other psalms, you will see why then I say this is the gloomiest of all. This indeed has led most sound interpreters to look beyond the personal trauma of the psalmist to see in this psalm the unparalleled sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ as He plumbs the depths of woe and brokenness of heart for the salvation of His people. There's a lot to be said for that messianic view of the psalm. And in this way,
the words of our text come into sharp focus because then they tell us much about the condition of the Lord Jesus Christ in death. And furthermore, they tell us much about the condition of all who are in Christ when they face death. And so this evening, I want us to join what Haman himself felt in the hour of his deep distress. And I want to join that with what he unwittingly expressed concerning Christ's entrance into death. My subject, therefore, is as solemn as it is simple. Tonight, as we look at the fifth verse of this psalm, I want us to consider the fearfulness and the freedom of death. There can be no doubt that Haman was so discouraged and so weary when he wrote this psalm that he felt like a man on the verge of the grave. And without a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I feel that as he plunges into his woe, he gets such a sight of himself that he cannot get back to the ground that he occupied in the first verse. He cannot see the Lord in his saving fullness. And so as he views death without the sight of Christ, it was a fearful thought indeed. And well, it might be, because I want you to note first and foremost from the words of our text that death is a fearful foe which finally severs everything that binds us to the world. Free among the dead. Those words must be understood as the Holy Ghost Himself has interpreted them. And in Job chapter 3 and verse 19, He speaks of the servant in death being free from his master. The words therefore speak of being cut loose from every earthly tie. There is not an earthly occupation which death does not immediately terminate. There is not an earthly relationship which death does not immediately sever. No earthly attraction can hold out against its irresistible power. No earthly embrace can stay its cold and vengeful hand. Death is the messenger of God whose summons cannot be ignored. It is the grim and the unwelcome proof of man's mortality. It is what the Scripture terms the King of Terrors, which snatches away the soul from the body and launches it out upon its everlasting destiny. Now all this Haman the Ezraite felt with shuddering dread. But worst of all was the realization that death spells the end of all spiritual opportunity. Because Haman not only says that he will be free among the dead, but he says that in that condition, the dead are cut off from God's hand. In other words, they are beyond the operations of providence or of saving grace. Gone forever are all the influences of grace. Gone forever is the call of the gospel of redeeming power. Gone forever is the opportunity to repent, to turn to the Lord, to cry for mercy, and to sue for the application of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, free among the dead, cut off from the hand of God. Now there is only darkness and the pit. This is death to every guilty son of Adam's race. This is the grim reality which every man amongst us has to face. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and the 14th verse says that we must needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. This is the reality of death. Where can you go to avoid the embrace of death? What power on earth can hold back the relentless march of death? I was thinking of this and trying to enter into the mind and the dread of the psalmist as he penned these words. Your friends may gather around as death marches close to you, but my friend, they cannot hold on to you. Your earthly business may call for your attention, but that call will go unheeded, because when death comes, you and I must obey its imperious call, and every tie on earth will be forever broken. The soul will be launched out into eternity. No doubt there'll be tears, but tears will not soften what the poet called the grim huntsman. No doubt there will be eulogies, but eulogies will not snatch back the soul from the awful clasp and grasp of death. How foolish then to have lived for the world. How foolish then to have lived for wealth. To have lived for the acclaim of this ungodly age. How foolish then to have lived for sin and the indulgence of the lusts of the flesh. How foolish then to have slighted the gospel and ignored the call of saving grace. Then, no more gospel preaching. Then, no more spirits called to repentance. Then, no more striving with a hardened heart. No more invitation, either by God or by men. No more opportunity to be saved. Without God and without grace, the soul must sink down into darkness and the pit. Free among the dead, the soul wanders right into the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, my friend, I would to God tonight that every man and woman here would face this solemn reality. This is not a distant possibility. This, my friend, is an ever-present reality. The Scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Again, the Apostle James asks, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor which appeareth for a little season and then vanisheth away. Vanisheth away is cut off, free among the dead. Haman felt the full horror of this tragedy. But what he didn't understand was the deeper significance of the words which God the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. Because, as I have indicated, this psalm not only speaks of Haman's own fears and dread, but it speaks of Christ in the depth of his voluntary humiliation. So that when we look at these words of our text, we can see that Christ fully entered into death. But even in death, he was gloriously and sovereignly free. Here is, in essence, the gospel. As our substitute, our sacrifice, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isaiah says he was cut off from the land of the living. His own cry of dereliction on the cross tells us that he was cut off from the support of his heavenly Father. All the billows of the wrath of a sin-hating God crashed upon the person and the soul of our sinless yet sin-bearing Redeemer as he died for the ungodly. But here is the note of gospel victory. Even in death, our Redeemer was absolutely free. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, and in verse 17, he says, I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. In Hebrews 2, we have one of the most glorious statements in all the gospel exposition found in the New Testament. We read in verse 14 and verse 15 that having taken on him the nature or the seed of Abraham, he through death destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Apostle Paul summed it all up when he said he was delivered because of our offenses. That's Christ entering into the last article of death. That is Christ fully entering into the domain of the King of Terrors. He was delivered unto death because of our offenses. Bless God, he was raised again because of our justification. Even in death, he was gloriously free. I love the words of the 13th chapter of the prophecy of Hosea and verse 14. These are the words of Christ. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Then he cries to death itself, O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Free among the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ died. But even in death, he was the conqueror of death. Even in death, he was the destruction of death. And therefore, we can finally lift the words of Haman in our text to the level of a glorious and victorious certainty for the people of God who are trusting in Christ. And we can say this, that death brings true freedom to every child of God, to all the redeemed of the Lord. Christians still die. But Death has lost its fearful sting for the people of God. You see, even when Christians die, they are free. They are justified. They don't cease to enjoy that glorious relationship of redemption. When they die, they are truly free among the dead. Now to the ungodly. Let me make this clear to you tonight. If you're in this meeting without the Lord Jesus Christ, this is true of you. To the ungodly, death spells doom and gloom and everlasting damnation. But to the Christian, death is but the vestibule to glory. Therefore the Apostle Paul could cry, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, at death the Christian is truly free. He's free from sin. Hebrews 12 and 22 speaks of the spirits of just men made perfect. He's free from sin. He's free from sorrow. He's free from sickness. He's free from all the limitations of this ungodly society and this ungodly flesh to serve His living Redeemer. Not much wonder then that the Apostle John was inspired by his great apocalyptic vision to write, Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, that they may cease from their labors. They are free among the dead. Free to enjoy God. Free to enjoy Christ. Free to enjoy heaven without let or hindrance. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, Many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle John took up this theme of sitting down in the glory of heaven in Revelation 7 and verse 15. He says, They are before the throne of God. Not a better place to be than before the throne of God. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. But even that's not the end. That's not the fullness of it. Because to be free among the dead means for the Christian exactly what it meant for Christ. It means that we are sure of a resurrection of the body unto life eternal. Therefore the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 could say, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Why? Because this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. He spoke of the same thing in that glorious passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, what will happen? We shall rise to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, that is the dead who rose, and the living who rose, so shall we be forever with the Lord. That, my friend, is the full significance of being free among the dead, certain of a resurrection to life everlasting. And you know, all this will be through the merit and through the power of the precious blood of Christ alone. What are these that are arrayed in white robes? Who are these people who are free among the dead? These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, saved for time and eternity, saved from death and saved from hell, purely and entirely by the merit of the Redeemer's blood. Here then is the glorious eternity of the redeemed of the Lord. Now I want to ask you tonight, if this is your blessed hope, as the Apostle calls it, is this your blessed hope? My friend, get beyond your church affiliation. Get beyond your religious pretensions and professions. My message this evening started with the dreadful note of death and its irresistible power of destruction for the unsaved man. But I have sought to show you Christ tonight as the Savior from sin and the destroyer of death and hell. Now hear me in the closing moments of this meeting. Every person outside of Jesus Christ will not only die physically, but must die the second death of everlasting damnation in hell and the outer darkness of separation from God. To be without Christ is to be eternally among the dead in the second death of the lake of fire, with the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, with the outpoured vials of the unrelenting wrath of God. To be without Christ is to be damned irretrievably and damned eternally. But oh, my friend, all who tonight dead in sin and headed for the death of hell, all who by faith receive Jesus Christ and stand alone upon the merits of His redeeming blood, all who tonight relinquish every hope in themselves and every hope in human merit and come and cry, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace." All who come in simple faith to God's dear Son, immediately enter into the possession of life eternal. And even death will become to that person the gateway to glory and everlasting bliss. The great question is, do you know Christ? Do you know Him? That's the question. It's a very easy question to ask. Many ways I fear to ask it in a meeting like this. I have found out from experience that there are many, many multitudes, even among fundamental churches, many multitudes who know a little about Him, but they don't know Him. All the knowledge in the world about Christ will never save you from hell. Who knows more about Him than the devil himself?
Do you know Christ?
Life is short. For those of us here tonight, God in His sovereign wisdom alone knows how short. Every year there are souls who, with full hearts of expectation, launch out upon the new year, but they never see it through. Strong presumption is that there are souls in this meeting tonight who will never see the end of the year that we have just commenced. Life is short. Death is sure, and it is no respecter of persons. You visit the graveyard, and you'll find the remains of infant bodies lying side by side, the remains of those who have lived to a ripe old age, and around about the remains of every class and every color and every age. Death is sure. Heaven and hell are eternal realities. In the light of all this, flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. Wash in His precious blood and be eternally and gloriously free.